Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ramble Reacts. David Moyes was dancing, wasn't he? It's Thursday, 8th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Welcome, one and all, to the West Ham United podcast. They bloody did it. They did it for England, Jim.
It really felt like they weren't going to do it for a moment there, didn't it?
Oh, tell you
but
what.
No, pulled it out.
Andy, have you ever seen anything as wide as David Moyes' smile?
I don't think I have. And
you could drive a bus between those
who
lips.
Who would begrudge him? Because it has been a difficult season and then some. It looked like after that interview afterwards with Jules and Joe Cole that he just wanted to have a little nap on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, he'd clearly been through it all. It was strong.
Well, imagine how his 87-year-old dad felt in the stands, Andy.
Oh, he looked full of vim and vigour, whereas with Moyes Jr., it did look a little bit like, you know, last 90 seconds of Bagpuss kind of business.
Yeah. Do you know what? Like that celebration of him running onto the pitch that's one of the best celebrations I've ever seen.
That's great.
But again, that's up there.
Grotesque.
With... for some, Andy, for some. Relevant, of course. Luton Town, was it, that celebration
you're
talking
about?
It's up there with Tardelli in 82, Jose Mourinho, Nou Camp 2010. Yeah. It's up there.
Steve Bruce on FIFA.
It is. It was similar pace, Jim, to that Steve Bruce one on FIFA. It was there. Do you know what, though? I have to say, and I messaged you boys at the time, I thought it was going to be given offside. I thought, if that's given offside, I'm never watching football ever again. Because Moyes, we've said this, but we want to see him happy. We knew it was possible. But I didn't realise his smile was going to be that beaming and wide. It was absolutely glorious. There was astronauts who saw that. But but if that would have been wiped off with a VAR call, I just... but it wasn't.
You know what? You were primed to be worried about that because it didn't strike me as if it was going to be a problem at the time.
Really?
I thought it was offside.
I thought it's done. This is it. Oh, really?
Yeah. And then you see quite clearly, don't you, that Biragi's playing him on the replay. Yeah.
I just think Fiorentina will still not really understand how they lost that game.
Yeah.
I was really worried for West Ham in the first half because obviously they had so little possession. But then when it gets into the second half and Fiorentina aren't really doing anything with it, you think, all right, if they just, you know, if they keep it calm and they play their game well, then they've got a chance here. Then obviously, you know, they concede straight away after their penalty with a brilliant goal. You worry again, but no, I was stupid to worry.
Well, that's it. I think you were very stupid, Jim, and I think the whole of East London accepts your apology. But I think, with these finals, when you're a neutral and you watch them, and as I say, I'm quite old fashioned. I want the English or to extrapolate that the British side to win. It's usually glorious failure. You think of Rangers last year. There's other examples as well. But they did it, but what you're referencing, Jim, to back that up with the stats, is Fiorentina had 68% possession. They had 17 shots to West Ham's 8. Both had 4 shots on target. I'm going to bore everybody with this, but you look at the passing stat. I mean, there's just so much more. Mm. And we thought the dynamic would be that, Andy, as it set in fairly early. Were you concerned for West Ham early on in the game?
Not massively. As long as they kept their nerve, I felt that. You know, I don't want to go over this all again, but West Ham should be winning the Conference League.
Why is that, Andy?
With the teams in it. You know why. Because...
Go on, say the B word.
I don't need to. Fiorentina couldn't afford a Paquetá, and he made the difference, really, in the last part of the game. And they couldn't afford a Jarrod Bowen. And really, that makes the difference. I think, as you pointed out, the fact that West Ham had less than half the amount of shots that Fiorentina had, but Areola never felt busy, and they got as many efforts on target. I think that really, that really says it all. I mean, I think Moyes was quite candid about it afterwards. He said, you know, we didn't really play particularly well, but finals are for winning, and I don't think I could agree more with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but as Jim, as you were saying, you know, West Ham, when they were pegged back, there was a chance for Fiorentina. I forget who it was, and he put it wide. Huge let off. But you're right, though, with what Moyes said. I mean, they're there for winning, and of course, it's their first trophy for 43 years, first European trophy for 58 years. And Fiorentina themselves, you know, they lost the final of the Coppa Italia this season. They haven't won a trophy for, what is it, since 2001, I think, with the Coppa Italia, and they
Roberto
won the
Roberto Mancini was in charge. Yeah,
yeah, they won the inaugural Cup Winners' Cup against Rangers.
Wow.
If my historical mind is working correctly, there. But it was just, I want to go back to those scenes again because David Moyes dancing on the pitch is what he promised, and I thought to myself, all right, David, you've got to stop at some point. It was just as well Jules grabbed him for the interview after, because I think he would have just been bouncing away.
Or maybe we would want to have seen more. Yeah, more of that dancing. I think Jules has robbed us of that, actually.
I think we've got enough footage to replay over the years.
I think we do.
Other than the Community Shield, it is his only first major trophy as a manager.
It's beautiful, isn't it? And it also puts them in Europa League next season. Absolutely. He's got a bit of experience at it now. He's becoming a very, very experienced European campaigner at a time when none of us really saw that coming. So
that's a brilliant thing as well. It's not only do they get the win of today, they get another campaign they really weren't expecting based on how the season's gone. Completely changes their summer plans. It's fantastic.
Well, I think Kevin Nolan pointed out that's three European campaigns in a row. And if you think out, think back to when they left Upton Park and when they moved into the then Olympic, now London Stadium, the whole club was under a cloud because a lot of fans were really unhappy about leaving Upton Park in the first place. They're really unhappy about leaving Upton Park for a stadium that clearly wasn't a football ground. And, you know, it's a great sense of loss because they knew that that's something they could never have back. And the whole point was that they were sold it by Sullivan and Gold as, you know, this is West Ham going to the next level, and this is West Ham getting into European competition on a regular basis and all that. And what one of the first games at the new stadium, they get beaten at home, or they get knocked out, sorry, by Astra. Finished like fourth in Romania, and at that point you're like thinking that really puts West Ham and it puts the owners on the back foot, and it puts the supporters in this really sort of glum place that they struggled to get out of, which became quite an angry place. So what they've done over the last two and a bit seasons has been pretty incredible, actually, and Moyes has been a huge part of that. I mean, I can't help thinking it might still be time to get rid of him, actually.
Because, well, yeah.
I mean, it's been a really poor league campaign when they had a much better squad on paper than they did last year. I think in reality that probably gets put to bed with the euphoria of this. But I think they need to be at least thinking about it.
Would you, but if you were Moyes, Andy, would you think about walking away? Because
no. He's a stubborn bloke. He's not going to walk away.
Well, I suppose when I say walk away, I mean ride off into the sunset.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Sound a bit more appealing.
Yeah. Sell it to him.
What would be the Champions League? When he was asked on BT Sport, what about next season and all the rest of it, there was a slight hesitation. I think maybe he thinks, well, yeah, if they'll have me on, or maybe if he'll stay. But Jim, it's funny how football works, because it wasn't that long ago on this very podcast, the Football Ramble, where we were saying, you know, should they twist, essentially, West Ham? You know, now's the time to do it. Perhaps if they're going to do it, they stuck with him. They did turn it on, relatively speaking, so they got out of safety pretty quickly. And suddenly, Declan Rice, the captain of the club, says on television, he's the greatest West Ham manager of all time.
Well, yeah, I mean, is there a chance that someone's had a word in his ear at full time? Say, all right, this is the end of the road, David. Go on there, have your dance with your dad and enjoy it.
I don't think he
was a little coy, wasn't he?
He was slightly coy.
I think, you know, the euphoria of this is going to be a really powerful thing, though, isn't it? So I think it'd be very, very sad if there was a parting of ways. I don't know if West Ham fans would agree with me or not. This is perhaps a stay of execution of a manager who's taken them as far as they can go. But he's a seasoned campaigner, and Moyes has always been like this as a manager, isn't he? He can be quite up and down. When he was with Everton, they would have a good season, then a bad season, then they'd have a good season again.
What's this then?
Well, this is a kind of a bad season with an incredible high point and a sort of not get out of jail free card. It's a get into the theme park free card. That's what it feels like. They've had a really bad day, and then they've happened along a year like free pass to Wharton Towers right at the end of the day. It's like, you know what? This day is now a net positive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's fair. There was some you know, great scenes of celebration. Obviously, before the game and the build up to the match, a West Ham fan spotted Mark Noble on a run through Prague and decided to join him for a part of the run with a beer in hand. Good, it's Lord. That proper oi oi, you know, kind of stuff.
I imagine the locals of, you know, the residents of Prague who aren't football fans will think, "Oh, this is the biggest stag we've ever had here." Gigantic. So many. This man must be so popular.
Oh dear, the amount of money people spent to get there. I mean,
yeah, crazy, crazy money. But yeah, I'm glad they won. to, because that is a huge amount of money we're seeing sort of banded around for people to get out there and get tickets. But everyone there looks like they are having the time of their lives.
Yeah, exactly. We have to say, though, that not all the West Ham fans cover themselves in glory. Some absolute dickhead threw a cup at the Fiorentina captain. And, like, after the scenes at the end of the game in AZ, you know, West Ham fans, obviously they were the friends and families of the players. But, you know, the whole club feels that, you know. You're on the end of some, you know, pretty horrible stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
You think to yourself, like, of all fan bases, I know people, you know, there's a stereotype of West Ham fans and so on and so forth and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, why are you behaving like that?
It's very silly.
It's such a stupid, idiotic thing to do. And to be honest with you, there'd have been a lot of neutrals watching that who'd have suddenly thought, sod it, I want Fiorentina to win. No, that's a very, very sort of neither here nor there point. But
I don't think it is. I think it's an important point, Marcus, okay. Because one person, well, not just one person, the one person threw the cup that hit him. Lots of other people threw cups as well, and it was going on at previous set pieces as well. And I think it does matter for the image of West Ham and for English football as well. And English football does have a certain reputation continentally. There's no getting away from that. Also, it will be costly, because I suspect that West Ham will end up either their fans not being able to go to an away game or two in the Europa League next season, or they'll play a game or two at home behind closed doors. So it's going to spoil it for a lot of people.
You think it'd be that bad?
They're going to get the book thrown at them for it, and they should do, because I know you can say it's only one person, but you know, it's got to be shown that it's unacceptable. I mean, I've seen games abandoned on the continent for less than that. So I suspect there are a few hearts in mouths at various moments. I mean, clearly Declan Rice was a bit rattled. You saw him go to the referee, and he felt he had to say something. He felt he had to do something. All the players were trying to take the heat out of it. We saw Naya Fergea going up to the fans, didn't we, and say, can we knock it on the head?
Well, I mean, yeah, no pun intended, Andy. But I think that if you're a supporter of a club and you've done something and one of your players is having to tell you to stop doing that thing, then you've just got to reassess immediately. Yeah.
Especially if one of those players is Kurt Zouma.
Oh, dearie me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We'll be right back.
let's get into some of the details of the match. Let's go, might as well go straight to the penalty decision. For me, I knew it was going to be given as soon as I saw that replay. I was surprised it took that long. Robbie Savage was absolutely adamant. By the way, was Robbie Savage, choose my words correctly, had he had a drink, Jim?
He sounded, I believe that Robbie Savage is teetotal.
He is,
so I think he might genuinely just have been drunk on West Ham. Because he I mean, he's a fairly excitable man at the best of times, but this was something else, wasn't it? I had to keep like checking in my mental sort of file of facts. Like, did Robbie Savage play for West Ham? He seemed so invested in them, and fair enough. But yeah, he was a lot. He was a lot, even in the context of Robbie Savage.
I actually quite enjoyed Robbie Savage on comms. And what I loved is when West Ham scored, and I was thinking, was it offside? Savage was celebrating. And then there was, you know, about, I don't know, 8 minutes of injury time, which felt like about 15.
Yeah.
And he was just celebrating. Ah, it doesn't matter. They've done it. It's the most confident man. But going back to the penalty, though, Jim, did you think it was one?
I did. And I think it's actually, once you see the certain angle, it's a fairly obvious one. Because essentially, you know, when the ball hits the player's hand, he gains an advantage from that. I think we just get tied up in the rules and the change to the rules so often now that I think unless a player sort of slaps the ball out of the air deliberately, you get people going, it's a ridiculous decision if it's given. And then you get people going, it's a ridiculous decision if it's not given. And I think people have almost forgotten how to just objectively assess what a handball is. And I thought that one was actually, again, once you saw that angle where it showed the advantage that the Fiorentina player gained, that it's a fairly straightforward one that makes sense with it, you know, as a rule and within the rule that you can't use your hands in the game.
Yeah, and obviously we mentioned that the Fiorentina equalising straight away, and I did fear for West Ham, and I thought, you know, are they going to tire and so on. Did you see that moment of quality coming, Jim, with a lovely through ball from Paquetá? I mean, he'd been threatening that, to be fair.
Yeah, he
and
did
Bowen
one.
Thought, thank you very much.
Yeah, he put a similar ball through earlier in the game, didn't he? But Mikel Antonio had just gone a little bit early and was offside. So, as you say, he quite literally threatened it. And I can't say I did see it coming. I thought, you know, that offside might have been the one moment. But that's, I think, what the most impressive thing about this victory is that West Ham didn't wilt in that. Mm-hmm. In that period after Fiorentina had scored, they could have really piled in there because they held them at bay for a lot of the game. Fiorentina had struggled to actually do anything meaningful with their possession, but West Ham just stood up. They were patient, and they you know, I think collectively they knew they were good enough to create a decent chance. They were patient with it, and along it came. And then there was about 15 inexplicable minutes of added time as well that they seemed completely unfazed by.
Yeah, Jarrod Bowen got player of the match, Andy. Not too surprising because he was the match winner. Do you think maybe Lucas Paquetá or Declan Rice might feel slightly aggrieved by that? I mean, they won't feel aggrieved clearly, but you get the sentiment.
No, I think it's fair that Bowen gets it. I think the thing, if anything, would have clinched it for Bowen, it's the fact that after he scores that goal, mm-hmm. he pops up at right back and makes a brilliant interception to shut things down. It was not a game of extraordinary quality, and it was not a game where West Ham played their best. So I think
will win it.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I didn't think it was Declan Rice's best game. Paquetá had those few minutes of quality towards the end, which is, as we said, what he's there for. Having said that, we also saw a few moments where when he's got the ball near his own goal, he's an absolute liability. And it underlines the fact that presumably when Rice does go this summer, they need to replace him with someone really good. Because I think in Paquetá's head, he's like, well, I'm not just a flair player. I can tackle as well. It's like, that's true, but don't take half an hour on the ball, like near your own goal. Please don't do that, because you will get swarmed by a pressing team. And that's exactly what happened on a couple of occasions when Fiorentina found it quite difficult to create stuff. So look, obviously with them getting in the Europa League, I think it does make it easier to attract those reinforcements. Look, they've been a little bit unlucky this season. I think the fact that Aguirre missed like loads through injury was something that put them on the back foot. He was someone who, when they brought him in, it was obvious he was going to be a massive upgrade at centre-back. He was great. I tell you what, if I was them, I'd have a little punt at Amrabat. I thought he was the best player on the pitch, to be honest. Barcelona would like him, but don't really have the money. Tottenham had a pop for him last season and didn't quite go there.
Andy, that won't stop Barcelona.
No, exactly.
They need another reason not to go and get him.
They'll just pull a lever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Pull it really hard.
Jim, did you have a problem with Jarrod Bowen, man of the match, Jarrod Bowen, dismissing a West Ham fan as he was being interviewed by BT Sport?
I did not, because you know as well as I do that fan was singing Bowen's on fire and he's shagging Danny Dyer, which when you are Jarrod Bowen is probably quite intrusive.
Yeah,
it happened again, didn't it? I on BT Sport while Jules and Joe Cole were talking to David Moyes, the West Ham fans were doing this big chorus of it, and there's this big wide panning shot that the production team have decided is the moment to reflect on what this means to the fans, and yet they're singing that song, and it was just one of those really, really brilliant, stupid football moments.
Yeah,
it's true, but having said that,
it is true.
It cut out them playing Cotton Eye Joe, which I couldn't really figure out at all.
I was wondering about that.
That has to be a reason. The reason we're unaware of.
The greatest moment of Moyes' career, and it gets Cotton Eye Joe, and then that. I mean.
Maybe he requested it.
Come on, DJ, give him a break.
Maybe he requested it, Andy.
Maybe it was a dig at Fiorentina.
Yeah, possibly.
Because West Ham were the Cotton Eye Joe taking away their fiancé.
Yes, I forgot there was a meaning behind that song. Sure there's another reason that we're missing and we'll be tweeted about it. Jarrod Bowen, the first Englishman to score a winning goal in a major European final since Alan Smith for Arsenal.
Wow.
In the 1994 Cup Winners' Cup final against Parma. How about that?
Great stat.
For a stat. It was just nice to hear Alan Smith get mentioned as well. But it was also very nice, Andy, for former Fulham defender Bobby Moore to get so many mentions as well. Hey? Apparently played
Wasn't
for West Ham as well.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
But there we are. So I suppose to sort of wrap up, yeah, as you say, Jim, it's been, we'll call it an indifferent season for West Ham. If you're a West Ham fan, are you hoping Moyes stays and as a crack at the Europa League? What are your thoughts for next season on West Ham?
I don't think there is an indifferent season with this. Purely because this is the first trophy since 1980, is it?
True. It cannot be an indifferent season. That is, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely massive. Just and a European trophy as well, with the all the brilliance that comes with that away day and comes with the campaign of it. The kind of slightly unusual, unfamiliar, and exotic air of that. I think this becomes the best season they've had in a long, long time. Despite the fact that a lot of it probably wasn't that enjoyable, the absolute explosion of emotion that we witnessed there tonight means this is brilliant for them. As for whether they keep David Moyes or not, I think they'll probably be quite split on that. I personally would like to see him get another chance, but I do also understand that if West Ham can get themselves into a position where they can get somebody possibly a little bit more forward thinking, they might go for that. Although, you know, they've been burned like that before, and then David Moyes will always be there, won't he?
So. Yeah, I think for me, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know, Andy, but I think to myself, if you do something brilliant with a club which is unexpected and it is a bit of a madhouse sometimes, like we've seen with Spalletti at Napoli, it was very different in some regards, or in a lot of regards. But I do sort of think, just leave while you're on amazing terms. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I think Jim has just said West Ham are massive, so Robbie Savage has got inside his head.
Yeah, which they're massive wherever they go.
They are.
I think you'll find. Marvellous. That run of Moyes onto the pitch. Wonderful. Bloody
it
wonderful.
Was. I love that that's what you've taken away from it.
Well, of course, the man.
What else is there?
He's the trophy man now, Jim. He's not the ferry man anymore. Yeah.
Well, he played his part in the downfall of was it Leicester? So he's done it all. He's done it all. He's the ferryman and the trophy man.
I cannot wait for the tattoo. Oh,
is he going to get a tattoo? Is it because Mourinho got one? Is that the deal? With the
Only for the big dogs. Only for the big dogs.
Yeah, I love that. Mourinho to Moyes in one season. The West Ham way. Right, before we go, there were two other huge stories in football today. Real Madrid have agreed to sign Jude Bellingham for over 100 million euros from Borussia Dortmund. That's the first one. Andy, your immediate thoughts on that talented teenager from Birmingham?
Well, it could end up being a lot more money. It could end up being 135 Ooh. Million euros. So it's a great deal for Dortmund. It's a great deal for Real Madrid. Scary midfield for the next 10 years if no mm-hmm. one gets injured. Presumably big, big striker next summer for Real Madrid. I think that's the most likely thing. But look, Bellingham will be absolutely fantastic there. And I think it's a good thing for England, like I said.
I do as well.
For him to play in Spain. And we've seen how much he's got from one different footballing culture, and for him to get it for a second, playing for like arguably the biggest club in the world is fantastic.
Gutting that he didn't sign off with a league win, but you'd imagine he'll win a few major trophies at Real Madrid. But yeah, like, it just, I love the fact that there's a young Englishman who's going to be playing in the centre of Real Madrid's midfield.
Yeah.
And it could be for many years to come, obviously, as you say, with injuries if it goes well, da 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 da. But like, at 19, Jim, going to Real Madrid, it's normally you get there, if people get there, it's in your mid-20s or you're the real deal and all that kind of stuff. He is the real deal at 19. This is the frightening thing about him.
Absolutely. I mean, even players like Wayne Rooney, when they came through with a lot of hype at a young age, didn't make a move like this then. Possibly they could have done. And Bellingham just is the sort of character that's happy to go and challenge himself in a different culture away from the pitch. But yeah, it is really exciting, isn't it, that we could have one of the jewels in the crown of world football pulling the strings for England as well.
Absolutely. When you say Rooney, he didn't make a move like that. Obviously, he went to Manchester United when he was very, very. But you're referring to when he went abroad, and of course, he waited for his best years before he went to MLS. A bit like Lionel Messi.
There he is.
Into Miami. What did I say? He must have had it in his contract. If I'm going there, Phil Neville's not going to be there by the time I get there.
they've just had a moment of clarity, haven't they, into Miami? It's like, look,
yeah,
this, we could get Messi this summer, and Phil Neville's here. What are we doing? Get rid of him. You don't even need to be nice to him. Just get him to fuck off. Just get him out of here. Burn every picture of him we've got. Messi cannot see them. What are we doing?
I mean, look. Again, it's all good content for us, baby. But I just wanted to see Fizzer manage him once, because what Fizzer would have done is Fizzer would have put him on the bench, okay, to kind of acclimatise him, right, or acclimate him, as Americans would say, and just seeing Phil Neville whispering a couple of things in Messi's ear, right, get yourself on there, and it would be a whisper. Get yourself on there. Nuisance value for the last 10 minutes, Lionel. Okay.
even the picture with the shirt would have been enough for me.
Oh, my goodness. Sadly for us, brilliant for him, that's not going to happen. Brilliant for Messi, that is, of course. Mm. But yeah, I'm glad he didn't go to Saudi Arabia. But I think it's probably not financially viable anymore, because Karim Benzema seems to have taken all the money.
Well, him and N'Golo Kante.
Yeah, N'Golo Kante.
Yeah, it's an astonishing amount of money being thrown around. It dwarfs what Chinese clubs were paying, wasn't it? Those years ago when China had a similar attempt at kind of turning their domestic league into a sort of destination and one of the top leagues in the world. But it's nuts. Obviously, there's a situation where the Saudi Public Investment Fund has bought huge, huge stakes in the four biggest clubs in Saudi Arabia. So they are essentially just trying to kind of force them into a relevant place on the global football map, and it's going to be pretty crazy, I think.
This is all very interesting, chaps. The big question is, where's Phil Neville going to land? I mean, there are some jobs available that leap to mind.
Celtic, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that'd be one.
Al Nassr,
Leicester City.
I think it's too hard. It's too hard.
It's too hard. I think this is too hard for you, Phil.
There's no running on the beach in Leicester, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's not by the, he needs to be by the coast.
He does.
Oh,
and Morecambe in a year and a half.
Right, I think we should leave it there, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to Ramble React. We will have more, of course, on Jude Bellingham and Lionel Messi on Friday's preview show, I would imagine. So don't miss that. However, before that, Andy will be back this afternoon for another edition of On the Continent. He and Dotton will be joined by Jonathan Johnson to reflect on a week which saw Karim Benzema and Zlatan Ibrahimovic say farewell to their respective clubs. In the meantime, find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you. I'm just offering me lunch before OTC. Bit of jelly deals.
Oi, oi. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
You're very welcome.
And thank you very much, David Moyes and West Ham United. Up the irons. Oi, oi, Savaloy.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.